Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, a huge slate of SEC action entering this coming Saturday, week number 13. But we'll turn back the clock. We'll recap week number 12, and we'll start in Athens, Georgia, the big top 15 battle between the Bulldogs and Volunteers. This game was deadlocked at halftime, 17 apiece. But in the end, Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs prevail 31-17. Give me your thoughts about what transpired last Saturday night.
Well, I think been their best game since Texas. I thought it was a great overall game. Great. Carson Beck played up. He played. I thought that may be his best game. They didn't let him get sacked by that great defensive line. They didn't let him get sacked one time in that football game, and that was huge. That was one of my keys to them having success throwing the football, for them having a clean pocket, getting enough running attack, being down 10 and him pulling them ahead. But he played a little bit more special. Their defense played great. Tennessee's not the same Tennessee. Go back and look 2 years ago. They can't throw the vertical pass. They have great defense, and they run the ball a lot of numbers, but until they can hit a vertical passing game, this is not their offense, and they'll win with it, but they're not great with it because that's the basics of their offense, is hitting people on the sidelines vertically up the field. And finally, I didn't think about this until I watched the game. They hit the tight end 10 times. They completed 10 passes. Brock Bowers was gone, maybe one of the greatest tight ends ever to play in college. And it's like they were averaging 3 catches a game. When a quarterback is having trouble and he needs to get rid of the ball, it's always great to go to your tight end. He's a big body. He has leverage over the defender, and it's a short throw. That 10 passes are a little bit more important than people realize.
Absolutely. And we brought it up on College Football Today. We brought it up on the Bowden Blitz last week in terms of the offensive production for Georgia. What was the main component or difference this year in 2024 to what we saw transpire in terms of last year's outcomes? And it was the tight end. Brock Bowers led the team in receptions. That Georgia offense converted 50% of their third down opportunities entering that ballgame on Saturday night. Georgia had only converted 38% of their third down chances, right? A better effort on Saturday. We saw Carson Beck complete 25 of 40 passes, 347 yards, 2 touchdowns. Oscar Delp, the tight end, with 2 big plays in the end zone that really allowed them to pull away in the second half. So you're absolutely right. I do want to bring this up. And to your point about Nico and the passing attack for Tennessee, they only averaged 5.1 yards per pass play, right? So everything was short to intermediate. That's a testament to Kirby Smart and the defensive staff making second half adjustments. They didn't give up a point in the second half, and they pull it out and outscore their opponent 14-0. And that's why they were able to pull away in the fourth quarter, right? They're still not running the football consistently, although Nate Frazier did get involved in the fourth quarter. I want to ask you this because it goes unnoticed. When I look at head coaches, not just in terms of college, even the NFL, it's one thing when a head coach has a game plan that starts right from the get-go and they win from start to finish. Great coaches make second-half adjustments. And you could go back to Kirby Smart when he first took over the program in the terms of the college football playoff against Lincoln Riley. They trail by 18 points, make second-half adjustments. The Bulldogs beat Oklahoma. We saw it early again this year. They trailed double digits by Alabama. They take the second half lead. They didn't win it, but they made adjustments to put their team in a position to win games. Kirby Smart is a great head coach, and I think when we look big picture, they are a lethal out should they make it to the college football playoff.
Yeah, he does a great job of making adjustments. You've got that exactly right. You know, I remember when he first started coaching, he was a graduate assistant for my father at Florida State. And I remember my father talking about this bright young coach, you know, Kirby Smart. because he was a running, he was a defensive back at Georgia when I played against Georgia when I was a head coach. But then he goes to work for Nick Saban. And how much more does that help him understand? Because there's been no better ever at making adjustments and getting kids ready to play. So he comes in with the right tutoring, with the right background, and then he's that type of intensity. He wants to play a tough football game anyway. He's a defensive player in college, but it's his ability to make adjustments. And I want to go one step further. It's not just halftime adjustments. It's actually every series adjustment. You've got to make a little bit of adjustments every time you come off the ball, because when you get into a game, the other team put some new things in during the week. Everything doesn't look like it did on video. So you've got to make continual adjustments, but at halftime, you've got to make those big decisions of which way you're going to go for the second half. He does a great job.
I agree, and we'll see how it plays out for the Georgia Bulldogs the rest of the way. They do square off against their arch rival, Georgia Tech. That was a very close game in Atlanta last year. We'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. Let's turn our attention to Fayetteville. This was an old Southwest Conference rivalry dating back to the late 80s and early 90s. We saw Texas jump out to the early double-digit lead, and they hang on and win it 20-10. The Longhorns win but don't cover as basically a double-digit favorite, 13.5 points in that matchup. Coach, what is it about Texas? Because we know that they can dominate early on, but again, I haven't seen a four-quarter effort. They have teams and allow teams back into matchups, and that in the end could bite them in a college football playoff appearance.
Yeah, and it was the offense this week. The offense couldn't get going. The defense was dominant almost the entire game, definitely in the second half. But you saw this game where Arkansas came back and was in a position to win the game. It was a tighter ball game even than 2010. And it's just a matter of not keeping focus the entire game. I don't know why that has. I think they're confident and they know they're good, but you've got to know that you've got to play hard every snap. And I think they get a little bit complacent. Offensively, you don't see them explode like they should. With the athletes that they have, they should be much more productive day in and day out, week in and week out.
4 of 15 on third down conversions. This was a team that entered that matchup converting in the area of about 43% of their third down opportunities, held under 30% in terms of last week's battle. We'll see how it plays out. For Arkansas, still searching for 6 wins. They get La Tech this week. They're a 21.5 point home favorite. We're not going to touch on this game in terms of the breakdowns, but how important is it for Sam Pittman to get to 6 wins in Fayetteville?
I think it's really important. You know, he was really on the hot seat early in the season. And they kind of like South Carolina. They're a better team than a lot of people think. They're really a team you don't want to play because they play pretty good. But that's kind of come out to W's, not L's. You got to win these close games. Now, Texas was number 2 in the country. But those people in Fayetteville, that's their most hated rivalry. If you could win that game, that means everything, because that's been a Southwest Conference rivalry for years. And Texas always looks down at Arkansas, just to let y'all know how these Southern rivalries go. And that's always been that way. But I think they played well enough against Texas. I think their fans were very proud. They felt there's not a moral victory, but their fans were pleased that they played so well against them and took it down to the wire. But so I think Sam's okay now, but I don't know. If he can't get to a bowl, if he can get himself to a bowl, that would make it a lot easier on those decision makers whether to keep him or not.
We'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks, whether the Razorbacks become bowl eligible. It looked like Brian Kelly wasn't on the hot seat, but now he's lost back-to-back games, coach, against Alabama. Got blown out 2 weeks ago. They lose as a 3.5-point road favorite in the swamp to Florida. They're now 6-4. LSU searching for answers.
Yeah, they've got no personality. Their offense just has I don't know what they do. They don't score points. They kick a lot of field goals. They can do a lot of things well. They should be better, but they're not. And Brian Kelly has kind of lost control. He was seen arguing on the sideline with his players, and they were arguing back. A lot of pressure on him. And not only do we fans see it, but the players see it. And I'm not so sure they can pull out of this thing this season. I'm not big on them this week because of they seem to have lost their composure. Whereas Florida, when they played, Florida coach has got the quarterback and the team rallied around him, and now he's risen up, got a real good chance of going to a bowl, where Brian Kelly, who is a great coach, and I don't think he's got so much of a buyout. I don't think he's going to lose his job, too much money for the buyout. But he has kind of lost his team, and you could see the pressure coming off him. You never want to show yourself losing control when you're the head coach.
We'll come back on the Bowden Blitz and dive into week number 13 within the SEC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition, we'll turn our attention to week number 13. Huge battle taking place in the swamp. Florida was able to pick up the victory last week against LSU. Coach, they now open as a 9.5-point home dog to the top-ranked Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss off a bye. Last time they played, they knocked off Georgia by double digits. It's going to take a monumental effort, I believe, for DJ Lagway and the Gators to pull out this ball game against the Rebels.
I'm with you. I was at that Georgia Ole Miss game, and I still can't get over how talented they are. Defensive line, defense, the quarterback, the wide receivers, the entire football team, the way they looked that day. And Lagway is a freshman going into this game. They're going to try to put pressure on that quarterback now. Now, I thought he wouldn't be able to play. I thought he would play last week, but that hamstring would pull him back, and that LSU would be able to win because he couldn't play. But he's 100% cured right now, and he throws a pass to win the game, you know, last week in the last minutes of that football game that won it for him. But this one, I've got Ole Miss has got too much defense. They've got they're going to they're going to throw the ball downfield. And Lane Kiffin, I guarantee it, if he can score some more points in the game, he's going to score some more points.
Oh, I agree now. I agree 100%. You know, the line is up to 10.5. You could see it up there in terms of multiple sports books across the country. The biggest thing I think for Lagway is don't turn the football over. He throws for 226 yards last week, one touchdown, no interceptions. To your point, the hamstring was a little bit banged up. He didn't run in terms of the RPO game. But they're going up against the front seven in terms of Ole Miss. That's only allowing 79 rushing yards per game. We saw them hold and contain Georgia to basically 1.9 yards per rush. If they bring that type of effort in terms of run support, it's going to be very difficult for Lagway and that offense to put up multiple points and scoring drives on Ole Miss. And on the flip side, you have an experienced quarterback in Jackson Dart that you know wants to push tempo, right? So, I mean, lower scoring game, yeah, Ole Miss could play that. That would favor Florida to potentially cover the 10.5-point number. This game gets through the 55.5 like I expect it to. I think it's all Ole Miss, and I think they could win this ball game by 20 or more.
I think that's exactly what happens because I think you talked about the game plan. It's going to be for Florida try to run that football. This is the wrong team. But you won't, if you don't run the football, you've got to put Lagway back there with facing that pressure. And he's a freshman. He's going to make mistakes. So the game plan for Florida is pretty simple. Somehow we've got to find a way to run. And accomplishing that is not. And I don't think they will accomplish it. And I think you'll see Florida begin to pull. I think Florida will have a good game. But I think Ole Miss pulls away, hits some big plays. And then, like I said, Lane Kiffin, he wants some beauty points. He'll lay it on. He'll add some more points on the end if he can. They're going to go over in that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think when you look at it, Ole Miss averaging 365 passing yards per game. Let's push tempo. We know we have the better playmakers, the more consistent and veteran quarterback entering this ballgame. Let's not get behind and give DJ Lagway or that offense any type of confidence, especially playing at home. If you are Billy Napier, though, right? I mean, he's answered all the critics up until this point. He gets the extension. He has one of the hardest schedules from an SEC perspective and in terms of all the nation for that matter, right? If he were to pull out this victory or potentially get to six wins this year, he overexceeds expectations. So he could force maybe to open up the playbook, right? He could take shots. He's playing a little bit with house money in this ballgame, isn't he?
Well, yeah, because one, I think he's got FSU next week after that. I mean, and I think that's the way Florida's playing. And with that quarterback, Napier's got a new life at Florida. He's got a new life at Florida. I've always said when you get the vote of confidence from the AD, you got to hope the AD got a vote of confidence from somebody because that's usually what they do. But I think the things that saved Napier, one, they've got the team turned around, their morale, the way they're playing. They found a great quarterback. This is a quarterback of the future, and I think they will get one more win, not this week, but next week, and get to a bowl. then I think now he can settle. He's a really good coach. He was back again. It's like every coach in the country played for me or my dad or my brother somewhere along the line. But Napier started at Clemson with my brother. He's done a great – I coached against him when he was at Lafayette. I was shocked that he's had a tougher time at Florida. But I think he's gotten through it. And I think this is the turnaround that he needed for that program.
Now, we'll see how that game plays out in the Swamp this coming Saturday. Let's turn our attention to the big game Saturday night in Norman. Oklahoma coming out of a bye. They open as a 13.5-point home dog to the top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama dismantled FCS opponent Mercer 52-7. Oklahoma only allowing, Coach, 109 rushing yards per game. Brett Venables potentially can be live. I know it's, you know, Oklahoma from an offensive perspective a little inconsistent this year, but I like the Sooners plus the 13.5 points Saturday night under the lights.
I do too. I like the points. I like them to against the spread. I like to go with Oklahoma. Zach Alley, their defensive coordinator, was my defensive coordinator at ULM 2 years ago, and he's a Brent Venables protege. He trained under Brent Venables, and they play very good rush defense. They're top 20 in the country in rush defense. But the way that Milroe hurts you, though, Jalen hurts you because he'll hurt you with scrambles. You can't defend his rushing because when he gets to the edge, he outruns people. Or when he gets back in the back pocket and there's pressure, he breaks a scramble. That's when you stop the run, that's usually the kind of runs you don't necessarily stop by game plan. And so that's why no matter what they do, I think he's going to get the unconventional yardage or the non-typical rushing yardage in scrambles and outrunning people to the edge where he's got more speed maybe than anybody on the field.
You look a couple of weeks ago against that LSU defense, Milroe, 12 carries, 185 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. Alabama puts up 311 as a team in over 7 yards per rush on the LSU front seven. They get that type of effort against Oklahoma. They should cover this line, but I still think it's an under in terms of the 46.5. I think Oklahoma will want to try and limit possessions, especially with Jackson Arnold. And how important is the week off in terms of preparation, not just defensively, but offensively for Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, obviously they're going to get people well. This late in the season, that's when you want your bye week where you get people well. You get a couple of new wrinkles in your game plan. But Oklahoma has offensive problems. You know, I've always said, how in the world they lost that quarterback, Gabriel? How they lost him, the season would have been different. But they have some problems offensively. They don't score very well. You can't really solve that in an off week. You got a wrinkle or two. You might keep it close for a while. But there are two different teams out there.
We'll come back. We'll dive into Texas A&M Auburn next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, diving into the battle on the plains in Auburn. Texas A&M opens as a 2.5-point road favorite over the Tigers. Coach, I don't know if you heard the press conference with Mike Elko this past week, but they asked him about preparation for this matchup. He said, yeah, no problem. All eyes are on the battle in a couple of weeks in Texas. Is this bulletin board material for the Auburn Tigers this Saturday?
I guarantee it's bulletin board material, although they're reading it on their reading it on their phones and laughing about that. He corrected himself almost instantly, but once said, it's already done. More importantly than that, he's going into Auburn to play at one of the toughest places to play. I know, I coached there, and it's a tough place to play. It's a night game, and you got Marcel Reed, a freshman quarterback in Marcel Reed. And buddy, they're going to be into a battle. You wonder why that spot's a 2.5. But I think it's because of the home atmosphere. And if you understand the history of that stadium, some of the biggest upsets you've ever saw happen there. It's just one of those places you never know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen. Now, I will say from the series perspective, A&M did pick up this victory last year by double digits. That was at home in Kyle Field in College Station. Last 2 years ago, last time they played on the Plains, they lost this ball game to Cadillac Williams, the interim coach. And when Jimbo was there in terms of one of his last games, 13-10, that was when Connor Wigman made one of his first starts on the road. So I agree with you. Something seems to be up. Because if we're just looking at this matchup, all eyes and the more consistent offense and defense is Texas A&M. But again, another head coach in terms of Hugh Freeze that potentially has to win out this week and next week in the Iron Bowl just to be bowl eligible. I think Auburn could be live. I don't love the matchup, but I would take the points with the Tigers. But I do feel we get through the 46.5 total.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, the lead or the point spread is so low. I'm going to stick with them because I think they'll win the game. But I will tell you, that tells me something. They're both got very good defenses. So the under is there. I think the under in this game, because both of them are going to lead with their defense. I just think Texas A&M's defense is better and Auburn's quarterback is worse.
Yeah, we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 7:30 kick, another late kick that takes place under the lights. 7:45 in Baton Rouge is Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers. This line opened up at 8.5 points. It's now down to 7.5 across multiple books. I don't know if you know this, Coach, but some amazing statistics for the LSU Tigers. They've won 9 straight against the Commodores. The last time that Vanderbilt got a win against LSU was back in 1990. I actually believe Jerry DiNardo was coach back in the day for the Commodores. I know you know Jerry very well. The last victory, the last victory, Coach, by Vanderbilt in Baton Rouge, 1951. Now, I'm just saying this right now. I understand Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt have been underdog killers this year. But going into Baton Rouge, knowing that this team has lost back-to-back games, last time they got abused by their arch rival, Alabama, I know you like Vanderbilt. I love LSU. I think they win this ball game by 14 points or more.
You know, I've looked at this game. I'm right with you. I think they have a great ball game. I think they win by over 14, and I think that they'll stop the bleeding a little bit. Now, nothing's going to save the season, but that's going to stop the bleeding. But I think this is going to be all LSU. Vanderbilt has kind of slowed down in their production. They play good defense, but they've slowed down in their production, and they give up the deep ball.
They do. Now, what about Clark Lee? You think he's going to stay with Vanderbilt? He's done a fantastic job. Transfer portal. He's got players that have fit his scheme. And we always see these coaches where they overexceed expectations at a lesser program. They move on to bigger and better. Kirk Cignetti stays in Indiana for 8 years. Do you feel like Clark Lee will stay in Nashville?
No, personally, I don't think so. You can stay too long. You can have a special season or two, but the last 50 to 60 years tell you a little bit about something. I think if he gets an opportunity at a big job, he ought to take it. Just like Dave Clausen at Wake Forest, be careful of staying too long, because when you're doing something that nobody else has done at that place and win above that, usually it comes around and it only lasts so long. Now, with NIL, I'm not saying that's different. My understanding is that Kurt Cignetti has got a ton of NIL money at Indiana, but Vanderbilt's a very tough academic school, and you can't just transfer into Vanderbilt from an academic standpoint. I don't know all those factors, but I would say if history repeats itself, he'll succeed, and if somebody offers him a good opportunity, he'll take it.
We'll see how that game plays out. 7:45 in Death Valley. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.